Canva Bench this evening in directing your minds to the first book of Chronicles, 16th chapter, reading verses 28 and 29. First book of Chronicles, chapter 16, reading verses 28 and 29. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Lord, help us, first of all, to come to the 28th verse. The Lord knows that it has been my own heartfelt desire, even this day, that we may be favoured together this evening to truly come a little into this sacred experience. For what great need we have to come before God and to render unto him the glory that is due to his name. I feel this especially, and the Lord knows why I feel it. I realize that if we are to be favored to really come into the experience of these things tonight, that we shall need humbling grace. We shall need the sacred spirit of truth to come into our hearts, that we may be really favored to come into this blessed posture. And I felt that these lines particularly were mine, and I hope that they will be ours together this evening. Father, thy quickening spirit send from heaven in Jesus' name to make our waiting minds attend and put our souls in frame. And this is what we need. If we are to be favored to glorify God, give unto the Lord ye kindreds of the people. I believe that the meaning of the word kindred, it really is this: those that are blood relations. In other words, those that belong to one family. One family. And there is a hymn which says this, and how true it is. There is a family on earth whose father fills the throne. And this is so true concerning this family. And this family are those that are bought with a price. They are the whole election of grace, really. This kindred, in its greatest extent, are those who, from Adam's day to this, and to the end of this dispensation, till the whole election of grace are ingathered into the fold, 'tis to these, I believe, that this word refers. But may the Lord help us together this evening. To you, dear friends here at Uffington, because I believe in this place there are still those who through mercy have been brought into this family. Those that have been born again, quickened into life, brought into a concern, and through these things, and through the Spirit's teaching, those that have not only been brought to Jesus, but have been favoured to hear his voice, that have been favoured with that witness within. I realise too that there may well be those who are exceedingly tried as to their relationship to the people of God. But if this is a real concern to you, am I quickened by his Spirit? Live a life of faith and prayer, desiring to trust alone upon Jesus' merit, desiring to cast upon him all your care, daily panting in his likeness to appear. Well, that very exercise reveals that you're among those that have passed from death unto life. And another word says this, I know it's often been misused, nevertheless it's true. Could we come in with this? Have we come in with this? We know that we have passed from death unto life because we love the brethren. Have we ever really felt a love to the brethren? Dear friends, as you gather here at Uffington and in Uffington Chapel, do you know what it is to feel a love to the brethren here? Why do you love them? Because I believe you have seen the reflection of Christ's image in them. You've been favoured to feel this and see it. And because there is that within your own heart that is drawn to them, not because of what they are by nature, but because of the grace of God that through grace has been manifested in them and in their lives. Give unto the Lord, ye kindreds of the people. Ye kindreds of the people. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now I have been exercised to know what this really means. And first of all, I would just venture to turn to the Acts of the Apostles, because there we have the Apostle Paul's sacred description of God. And as he saw that inscription to the unknown God in Athens, and as his spirit was stirred within him, and as he had been brought to know this God for himself, and this had first commenced to take place as it concerned him in this life upon the Damascus Road. But he says, whom therefore ye ignorantly worship, him declare I unto you, God that made the world and all things therein, seeing that he is Lord of heaven and earth, and dwelleth not in temples made with hands, neither is worshipped with men's hands, as though he needed anything. I hope presently to show why I have read this, and I feel I must continue with it, as though he needed anything, seeing he giveth to all life and breath and all things, and hath made of one blood all nations of men for to dwell on all the face of the earth, and hath determined the times before appointed, and the bounds of their habitation, that they should seek the Lord, if haply they might feel after him and find him, though he be not far from every one of us, for in him we live and move and have our being. For as much then as we are the offspring of God, we ought not to think that the Godhead is like unto gold or silver or stone graven by art and man's device. There you have a sacred description of this great God. And the apostle speaks concerning him as though he needed anything. He is almighty. He is all-powerful. He is wisdom itself. What then can this word mean? And I have desired the Holy Spirit to reveal it to me, and I can but venture with what I hope has been shown me in this: give unto the Lord glory and strength. We cannot add to his glory in that sense that we've been reading about it. We cannot add to his strength, because he's all powerful, and we receive our strength from him. We receive, if we are favored with that glory, and especially that glory that is in Christ Jesus, which is made known to poor sinners as he is revealed to those that are born from above as their Savior, their Redeemer, their all and in all. Well, what can this mean? Give unto the Lord glory and strength. And I venture with this, hoping that it may indeed prove to be from the Lord. The Lord, in his dealings with his dear people, he blesses them. He blesses them in their lives. He blesses them with providential blessings. He blesses them with spiritual blessings. And if we are helped to rightly view providential blessings and spiritual blessings, then I believe we shall be favored to see in it a measure at least of the glory of God in his power and love and majesty and mercy. And to think that he should condescend to stoop to men of low estate, to think that he should bless his people at all, but he does bless them. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now I believe, and this is what we so need, we need the Holy Spirit to so work in our hearts that we may give unto the Lord that which he has given us. We may give unto the Lord that which he has given us. You might say, well, what do you mean? But if we think for a moment of how God's glory is reflected in his mercy and goodness toward his creatures, in all that he provides for them, and in that which he does for them, and in that which, as he reveals it, and what a mercy to have this revealed, that whatever we have received from God. Whatever we possess in this life, we've received from God. All things come from him. And how I believe that the Lord reflects his glory and his majesty and his power in these things, and then as it concerns spiritual things, how God's glory is reflected in and through Jesus Christ. In and through Jesus Christ. Would we see his brightest glory? Here it shines in Jesus' face. Sing and tell the pleasing story, O ye sinners saved by grace. And when these things are revealed, and I would seek first of all to speak of providential things and how the Lord does give to his people that which he has appointed for them, and how he does give to them strength. But what I have felt especially in this, give unto the Lord glory and strength. How we need grace in our daily lives, in our providential path, that we may, as it were, come with all that he's given to us, and to be favoured to come just as we are with it, and really to say this, oh, take my all, this worthless heart, and make it wholly thine. And then to the strength which he gives to his people. And how we need grace to come before him with this, and that we might be enabled to use our strength, that we might come and ask the Lord to help us to use even our strength. Yes, we need the Lord's help in our providential path, in our daily callings, in our home life, and in and amongst our families. What help we need, that we might come and ask the Lord to control these blessings that he has given to us, that we may use it all to his own honour and glory. We do need help to do this. What a mercy it is to be favoured with this spirit, this desire. And in our lives and in those things that we have to attend to, that we might do all. This is what I would seek to bring before you, that whatsoever ye do, in word or deed, do all to the glory of God. And to have such a spirit as this, and I believe that the nearer we are brought to this great God, the more we are favoured with that sweet revelation of Jesus Christ to our souls by and through the power of the Holy Spirit, the more humbled we are in the dust, the more we shall desire to live to his honour and glory. And we are stewards. We have our responsibilities in our lives and in that which God has given to us. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. And I have thought a little like this too. And how the Apostle Paul, in speaking in God's word, he speaks about the thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, that he was given. There was given unto me a thorn in the flesh, the messenger of Satan, to buffet me. But the Lord used these things and brought him to this, and how favored he was, as the Lord, as he says, and he said unto me, my grace is sufficient for thee, for my strength is made perfect in weakness. Made perfect in weakness. And I do believe that when God's grace is made sufficient, and we are made to feel our weakness, and Christ's strength is made perfect in our weakness. And as we are favored to know and feel this, how I believe then, as we are helped in things and brought through things, and as we are favored to acknowledge that it has been through the grace of God that we've been enabled to do things in our lives and to conduct ourselves aright in the sight of God, how I believe that then we shall come in the exercise of this word, give unto the Lord glory and strength. Now, sometimes when I have felt to be at my weakest, and yet I believe that Christ's strength has been made perfect in it, and I have been brought to feel and to know that the Lord has strengthened me. He has strengthened me with strength in my soul, and he has helped me, he has favored me, he's been with me. Then I believe I've known a little of this experience. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. But also with regard to spiritual things, give unto the Lord glory and strength. And as the Lord blesses his people with those spiritual blessings and favors them and grants them those glimpses of Christ, that sense of his presence and blessing in their souls, that realization of his being with them in his house, and as these things are made manifest, and as the sense of them is granted and the realization is found, then I believe too in this word is brought to pass. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. In other words, to come before him, and how we shall, as we are humbled in the dust at his feet, we shall then come. And I believe this will be our language. All the glory, Lord is thine. Give unto the Lord glory and strength. And how his people and his servants, as they are helped and strengthened in the worship of God's house, and as they are helped to put first things first, then how they desire and how they are favored to see the deep need to return, to give unto the Lord glory and strength. And then the next verse says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And we have in the Word of God a number of words which speak especially concerning the name of Jesus. There is a word which says this: unto him shall the gathering of the people be. And in all places where I record my name, I will come unto thee, and I will bless thee. And there is this word too: thou shalt call his name Jesus, for he shall save his people from their sins. There is none other name given under heaven among men whereby we can be saved. And then there's this thought too. There is this recorded, and the Lord spoke this to his ancient people, and he says, not for your sakes do I these things. Not for your sakes have I blessed you. Not for your sakes have these things been brought to pass. Oh, how the Lord teaches his people this lesson well over and over again, it's not for their sakes. And they know well that this is so. That the Lord says that he blesses his people for his own great name's sake. For his own great name's sake. And this is why he does bless his people. This is why he blesses the kindreds of the people. 'Tis for his own name's sake. And so he says, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Unto his name. And how we do need help to do this. How we do need to come before him, to bring an offering, to come before him, and to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. How shall we, how can we come to rightly give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name? It says, bring an offering, come before him, worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. I believe we have a key to this in the 51st Psalm. And I believe that this is the way into these things. And to be brought to rightly give and to desire to give the glory that is due to his name. And I believe it is to poor sinners who have been made to cry for mercy, who have been brought to plead for forgiveness, who have been brought to know and to feel that they have need of cleansing, that they have need to be cleansed from their sins. Now the psalmist David knew this experience. And how I believe the very things that he speaks and pleads with the Lord for are an evidence that he received the answers. I believe as David uttered these things before his God, let me mention this. He says, purge me with hyssop, and I shall be clean. Wash me, and I shall be whiter than snow. I believe as David pleaded these things before God and so felt to need them in his heart, I believe he was given them. I believe he was granted these very things that he pleaded before God. And he says, among other things, create in me a clean heart, O God, and renew a right spirit within me. Cast me not away from thy presence, and take not thy Holy Spirit from me. I believe the Lord favoured him here with restoring mercy and grace. I believe the Lord did create in him a clean heart, and did renew a right spirit within him, and did restore unto him the joy of his salvation, and did uphold him with his free spirit. You might say, well, why do you believe this? Because of what follows. He says, then will I teach transgressors thy ways, and sinners shall be converted unto thee. He says, then, O Lord, open thou my lips, and my mouth shall show forth thy praise. And then the Lord granted to him not only, I believe, the desire, but the answer to those desires in what was needed and what we need if we are to be brought into the experience of the text. He says, the sacrifices of God are a broken spirit, a broken and a contrite heart, O God, thou wilt not despise. And this is what is needed. And this is something that the Lord alone can work within our hearts by and through the power of the Holy Ghost. Yet I believe when we truly long for this, and when we are brought to plead for this, for these things, I believe that the Lord grants these things. I am persuaded of this. But when we are really brought humbly before God, even to plead, that we might be given a broken and a contrite spirit, and as our hearts are softened before God in these things, I believe that the Lord grants these answers. He grants these things. He favours his people with this. And then I believe they will come to this: give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering. What shall we bring? What shall we bring if we truly come before God? I believe we shall bring, among other things, a broken and a contrite spirit. And we shall bring this too, I believe. We shall say feelingly then, not unto us, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy mercy and for thy truth's sake. And then I believe we shall come like this, bring an offering. We shall come just as we are. We shall feelingly come just as we are, without one plea. But I believe we shall come pleading the blood that does for sin at all. Ah, what a favour this is. What a mercy to have a contrite heart, a heart softened, a heart drawn nigh by the blood of Christ. Now this is an offering that the Lord will accept. This is an offering that the Lord will accept. And we shall come just as we are. Come just as thou art with thy woe. Fall down at the feet of the Lamb. He will not, he cannot say no, but surely will take out the stain. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. And is it not as the Lord softens our hard hearts and favours us with a broken and a contrite spirit, favours us to see how great has been his mercy toward us, his long-suffering mercy, his goodness, and that he's been far, far better to us than we deserve, and how he has borne long with us. And yet this is an offering that the Lord will receive, and then I believe we shall come before him. We shall come before him then. And it is as the Lord blesses his people, and as they are favoured with those glimpses of his face, those tokens for good, those evidences of his mercy toward them, and as he favours them, as the hymn writer says, give us, blessed Jesus, give us a sweet glimpse of thy sweet face. And when the Lord favours his people with a glimpse of his sweet face and causes them to realise that it's not for their sake, causes them to realise that it is for his great name's sake that he has ever looked upon them, that he's ever blessed them, that he's ever drawn nigh, that he's ever revealed himself to them, then I believe we shall come before him. And then I believe we shall know something of what it is to worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, in the beauty of holiness. That holiness that has been wrought within the soul through sanctifying grace, and as the heart is humbled, made contrite, and as we are made indeed to feel to be but a little child, a little child. And I believe indeed that David was brought here on a number of occasions in his life, and one occasion especially, he did come into the experience of this word when he said this: "Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house, that thou hast brought me hitherto? Who am I, O Lord God, and what is my house, that thou hast brought me hitherto?" That we've been brought thus far. Isn't that a sacred experience? And I believe that David did worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness, and he was prostrate in the dust. He was nothing in his own eyes. And I believe it could rightly be said that on that occasion, Christ was all and in all to him. And I believe that David could see Christ in everything then. Not only in that had transpired throughout his life, but in that which was to come. He says, "Thou hast spoken unto thy servant concerning things a great while to come." Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Well, how we do need help to give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, for all that he has done for us. For all that he has done for us. For all that he has done for us over the years, in our lives providentially. For all that he's been pleased to do for us spiritually. And what great things they are if we have been brought out of the kingdom of Satan into the kingdom of God's dear Son. Oh, what a favour this is. If we've been brought nigh by the blood of Christ, give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And I do feel that I must venture in concluding tonight, because really this has been upon my spirit. There is that within me that would be silent in this, and yet I feel I must speak. May the Lord help me to speak it to his own honour and glory. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. And I've been thinking, I've thought of a particular Wednesday, soon after I had ventured out into the work of the ministry, and I had, among other letters, I had received a letter from you here. And well do I remember the feelings of my heart that day. And now I trembled as to the future. I hadn't suitable means of transport at the time, and the thought of even journeying on such a journey as coming down to Uffington or to other places caused me considerable exercise. And I remember how, when I received your letter asking me to come here, and 3 dates were given. Yet because of my fears, I only accepted one, and that was the first date, and that was would be the first Sunday in March in 1966. And when I posted that letter, I felt, well, that would be the end of it. You see, I received another letter asking me if I could come for the other 2 dates. And as no one else asked me for those dates, I had to venture. But when I think of this, and when I think of the past 10 years that I've been coming here, I would desire even to come into this evening feelingly, give unto the Lord glory and strength. for all that he's done for me, even in this. And when I think of all the journeys, the times now that I've journeyed here, and the help and the blessing that God has granted in these things, in providential things, and how during those years I have been given by the Lord 3 cards. Oh, if there's anyone here tonight has deep need to give unto the Lord glory and strength, and for strength received over the years and help given in all that is meant. And when I think too of many things, and when I came last evening, and as I sat in the vestry and was received once more, I believe, in love, and how I thought then, what a favour this was, that even after 10 years, to still be received in love, to be, still be welcomed here. I do and would desire even tonight to say this: not unto us, O Lord, not unto us, but unto thy name give glory, for thy truth and for thy mercy's sake. Things which the Lord has done, things which the Lord has brought to pass, and there are many things. And none of us know how much longer we have upon this earth. We do well to rightly consider, and I hope I'm not a stranger to our second hymn. I believe I've known what it is sometimes to feelingly say, Lord, may I this language speak before a dying hour. May I be prepared. But I feel, friends, that if I went home without seeking to acknowledge the Lord's goodness and mercy to me and to you, and in these things that have taken place, and there have been things, but the Lord has done them. But I have desired to give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name in all that he's done, in all that's been performed. But then I would not say too much, but as it concerns you here as a people, and in the years, and some of you have known many years here, and has not the Lord done great things for you, whereof at times you've been favoured to be glad? The Lord has done great things for them, the psalmist said, and it's true. It's true concerning you as a people. The Lord has done great things for you, at times whereof you've been glad. And so may the Lord help you, may help me, to even this evening in these things give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. His name. This is where I've desired to come to. And then just one word in conclusion. Give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name. Bring an offering and come before him. Worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. Well, to those of you that are present here tonight, in those things that the Lord has accomplished in you and for you, those things that the Lord has done for your souls, the Lord help you in this, to give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, and bring an offering and come before him and worship the Lord in the beauty of holiness. What does the psalmist say? He says, come and hear, all ye that fear God, and I will declare what he hath done for my soul. And we do need grace to give unto the Lord the glory due unto his name, and not to be silent when the Lord has spoken.